are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Welcome back to the fifth episode of the God Geeks podcast. We will be talking about television today. We got our top five lists for the year for 2015. Just to review, this podcast is about what, Bill?
Well, I'm Bill Brimer, and this is James Cleland. And to me, the God Geeks podcast is first and foremost about theology, it's theologians who are geeks about, you know, all kinds of different things, television and movies, and our first episodes were about Star Wars, and probably a lot more of the episodes will be about Star Wars. And
I've got a Star Wars show on my list today, actually.
Well, so Star Wars will come up, you know, almost guaranteed.
Every episode.
Yeah, definitely in the theme song, if not. So the idea about the podcast, again, is just, to me, theology is reality. The seen and the unseen are intertwined, and we don't see necessarily God at work day to day in his creation, but that is very much the case. God is has clothed himself with light, and even though this world is currently under the curse of sin and death and darkness, God is constantly intervening. Jesus Christ is alive, and his goodness and his mercy and his kingdom have invaded and are invading the realm of men. And part of life in this world is looking for things that are beautiful.
Yeah.
Art and film and music and our lives with each other, our loved ones and our families, and even though you may not have a job where you're actually thrilled about going to work each day, there are moments in the day, mm-hmm. I pray, that you're thankful for. And those are all gifts from God, whether it is going to that movie and having joy from the movie, you know, and hearing a good story. These are God at work in the world. And these are sometimes referred to as the masks of God. God hidden behind the scenes, but invading with beautiful things. So that is a long-winded way of saying, as a Christian man, as a pastor, and someone who is free in Christ, that I can love and talk about Star Wars, and I can love and talk about my favorite bands and writing songs and art, and I don't have to. It doesn't have to be quote unquote Christian movies and Christian. I don't have to abstain from everything that's not quote unquote Christian, because all things that are good come from God. And so that being said, like James said, this particular episode, and I don't think we'll get it done in one episode.
I don't think we will either. I'm already thinking about tangents.
our top five TV shows, because I am definitely a TV geek. I mean, yeah. I It is really, there's a great way for me to unwind at the end of the day. If I usually have about an hour or 2 hours where I can either Netflix or something that I've DVR'd. And so I have to use that time wisely. And television to me, and I think I may have said this on a previous podcast. Well, you tell me, James.
Yeah.
I think it's like there's sort of a renaissance.
Definitely. I was talking to my students a little bit about it today because we're studying Victorian literature. And there was a bit of a birth of serialized drama in magazines during Victorian times. Stuff like Sherlock Holmes and whatnot. And I'm kind of seeing that same kind of rebirth of really good serialized stories. Big stories that are kind of broken up into chunks that are just well done. And it's not on the networks. It's kind of this new thing.
I agree with
that. Binge-worthy TV.
I agree with that. I think if you look back, it's kind of interesting that it's, you know, being 2015 now,
mm-hmm.
and this has been happening. It's been happening
5 years, maybe. They keep saying it's the death of television, but I feel like
maybe
we got to come up with a new term for TV.
I think television to me is any sort of ongoing
episodic,
episodes,
serialized something. Yeah,
to me, and this is I think you can trace it back to the 70s when television became. Started to become a commentary on sort of what was going on with societies. And when I mean television, not just news, I mean, you know, sitcoms and MASH and shows.
All in the Family.
I mean, obviously classic television shows. But to me, what I would say is HBO, it for me, personally, was a pioneer in this new era of television, with for instance The Sopranos.
I'd say it might go back. Which came first, The Wire or Sopranos?
Well, The
Sopranos,
the,
I think.
Well,
maybe.
The Wire and The Sopranos.
Kind of that generation of HBO
were,
shows.
They were, and that's a great question. I don't know technically which was the first first year. I know that. The Wire, I think, is kind of a spinoff of what was originally The Corner on HBO.
And I think
The Corner did come before The Sopranos. Yeah.
But they were definitely the first with this renaissance.
Yeah, they're both, I mean, The Wire is amazing.
We'll have to talk about our top five of all time at some point.
Yes,
but
definitely.
That might be on there.
However, I think it's just become a medium for storytelling that has a phenomenal advantage on film. And the advantage that television has on film is that they have 10 hours or so in a season to develop characters.
Yeah.
Whereas a film, I mean, you got to do a trilogy of films to even come close to that. And then you're still 6 hours, you're pushing it. You know, the 2 hour movie mark is kind of like, man, if it gets much longer than that, then you're kind of in.
Yeah.
People are ready to leave.
Yeah.
So you have.
But
to
I'll still watch a show for 10 hours at home.
I know. Yeah, yeah. But they don't have the opportunity that television has to develop characters. And so I think what's interesting to me is that the level of acting, the level of writing, and the level of actually and the content of what. You know what you have on television. There's not really anything that you can do film wise that you can't do with television now.
Yeah.
And so it's a new form of art, a storytelling. And now that horse is completely dead, that we've beaten that dead horse.
No, I think it's important because we're going to come back to it as we talk about
I think so. And I think, you know, I'm thankful for it. I mean, I think it's a beautiful form of entertainment and moving, and the stories, the characters that you get become a part of your life and your mind, and you think about them during the week,
yeah,
and you look forward to the next,
yeah,
episode, or if you're on Netflix or something, you know, you're kind of, it's an addicting thing. You're like, oh, one more episode. I can stay up one
yeah,
more hour
more
and get
hour.
One more of these in. No,
it's dangerous.
So yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to count down,
Five to one, and maybe some honorable mentions.
Each one of us, yeah. So James has his own personal, and I don't know what they are.
No, we haven't talked about this.
And I have my own personal top five television shows from 2015.
Yeah.
So from this past year, and so this could be like season five of whatever episode. So it doesn't have to have started in 2015. It's just the TV shows from 2015 that we love. And so, James?
Number five?
You want to start with your number five? What do you love about it?
I kind of have two different lists, but I'm going to go with my self list as opposed to my me and my wife list, because those are kind of two separate viewing things. There's some overlap.
I would venture to bet that your personal list is much more geeky than... So, yes,
way
definitely
more geeky.
Go with geeky. Since we're a God Geeks podcast,
I will throw in later some together shows, because I think people could also geek out on them.
Okay.
Number five this year, I think The Walking Dead is back. They've hit their stride again. Some interesting things going on. It's been a fun season. Do you watch Walking Dead?
Absolutely, I watched
okay.
The Walking
How,
Dead.
What do you think of this season?
Well, so
I haven't. I have two episodes left in the season, so I really don't know how it ends yet. But
okay, well, I may totally mess your season up. I have my top five,
yeah,
TV shows from the year, like James, and I also. Here's what's funny: we showed up today and we hadn't talked about this, but I said, I actually have some honorable mention. And he's like, I have honorable mention too. And I was like, that's how much of geeks we are. We have honorable mention TV shows for me.
Yeah.
And this doesn't mean that I don't love the Walking Dead.
Right.
For me, The Walking Dead had honorable mention for me, the top five this year.
So much good TV this year.
There is a lot of good TV this year. And The Walking Dead is one of, I think, one of the best TV shows on television.
Yeah.
I'm specifically, though, talking about this past season.
Right.
I feel like it was good.
Okay.
It was really good.
Okay.
I
do have to finish it. That might change.
How much do you know about Glenn?
I know he's back. He is alive. I know that.
That particular part.
Yeah. You wanted him to die?
No.
Okay.
I didn't want him to die. I mean, Glenn is not a character that I'm like, I'm all for Glenn. I don't have anything against Glenn.
Oh, I'm team Glenn. I think he might be my favorite.
Okay. Well, that's totally.
So that might be why this is a season I really like.
Well, I didn't like the Glenn trick. I didn't like.
Okay.
I didn't like the Glenn. I thought it was a little cheap, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, it was kind of telegraphed.
I knew he was under the dumpster.
I watched The Walking Dead and I watched The Talking Dead.
Yeah, okay.
Afterwards, okay.
They made it a big, like, is he alive, isn't he?
They did make it a big deal. And I do think, you know, Chris Hardwick probably didn't know whether he was dead or not.
No, he was
arguing like, hey, how could he be alive? And I'm like, well, the other guy fell on top of him. I mean, and they didn't show a close up, you know, and it was just kind of one of those things. I just felt like,
okay, now you're making me feel this way too, I think.
Well, I didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah.
I
will say
I'm all for them. I expect them to kill off characters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now they've kind of opened the door to, when we kill one off, they might come back. And
right.
And I just think that's one step in the soap opera direction.
Yeah,
you know
I think
what
you're
I mean?
Right. I think you're right.
And I think the show is better than that. I think the show is It's not, you may be listening to this and thinking they're talking about a zombie show. It's not a zombie
show. It's not a zombie show at all, no.
I mean, the zombies are a mechanism in the show.
Yeah.
To illustrate the darkness of the world that these people are operating in. The show is about the human condition.
I'm gonna divert the conversation just a little bit, and maybe we'll talk about it next episode, but this reminds me of one of my favorite books from the year, Savage Continent.
Okay.
It's about Europe after World War II.
Okay.
And I loved it because it was like, okay, this is Walking Dead. We human beings don't need zombies to act like this.
Right.
That's truth. That's reality. That's how we act.
So you're reading
I'm reading actual historical accounts, and it's like, this is an episode of Walking Dead.
Yeah,
but there's no zombies.
Yeah. Right. It's just desperate people living in desperate situations.
Yeah. And trying to survive,
and all of a sudden, you rationalize things that you would never do in an organized, civilized society. You become, you become the governor all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
So the episode after Glenn, I think, might have been why I really liked the season. With, who's the gentleman? Carries around the bow staff this season. He's a pacifist. Blanking on his name.
Oh, yeah, Morgan.
Morgan, yeah. So I kind of enjoyed the backstory of Morgan, how all of a sudden he's like this monk, this
pacifist
monk.
That was a phenomenal, to me, that episode there was one of the best hours of television all year.
And I think that's why it's on my list.
It's like I say, it's honorable mention. It's The Walking Dead. It's one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah.
That particular episode was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And the acting in it was phenomenal.
Oh, and the goat. Best acting on.
All right, so your number.
That
five.
Was my number five.
So this is
what's your number five?
So my number five, and this is the curveball.
Okay.
Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Okay, so
right.
So to me,
you thought that was.
I thought that was a very well done show. I like the acting in it.
Yeah,
it
was good.
I felt like as a Walking Dead fan, I want to see how did this go down.
Yeah.
The way that they brought in the military and the way that there was like
the mails. Yeah, we can't give away too much.
Chaos and how quickly it began to fall apart and how quickly all of a sudden the military's pulling out and all these other things. I felt like that was all really,
Well, it was great to see characters reacting to the beginning of all of this. How do you, the transition from normal daily life to, oh no, everything's different.
Yeah.
We didn't get that in Walking Dead because everything happens post, months after the initial outbreak.
That's exactly right. And not to take anything away from, obviously, The Walking Dead, as far as, they don't just throw you in The Walking Dead to all of a sudden everybody's a ninja.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
They bring, but the main character is a capable sheriff's deputy.
Yeah, it would
who
make
knows
sense
how to work
he has
guns and all these other things.
Yeah.
Here's what's great to me about the fear of The Walking Dead is these people are not like all.
I can relate to it. They're teachers.
Yeah. And the main character, what I would say to the main character, the father, he's probably not the main character, but he's one of the main characters.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The father of the family, or the boyfriend, the main guy, and I apologize because I can't remember any other names. He is anti-violence the whole time, and it's to the point of going, dude. You know,
I kept screaming at the TV. Just pick up the gun.
Here's me, the pastor, saying, man, you're gonna have to step it up
man
here, brother.
Up.
You know. But that is that's that. I think that's an important point. Is when I watch the, as a Christian man, when I watch The Sopranos, I'm rooting for Tony Soprano.
Isn't that amazing how that happens?
I mean, yeah,
it's like Breaking Bad.
I mean,
you root for Walter White.
You're absolutely.
Yeah.
You're going for maybe the most evil guy around, and
really
not even thinking twice about
it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, it does. It's the idea that, like you talked about, desperate people and desperate situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
True history. It's, hey, we are fallen, sinful, selfish, rotten people. Every single one of us, deep down inside, and man, the thin veneer of civilization would go away very quickly in a situation like that. But anyway, I loved Fear of the Walking Dead. I felt like it was very well done. I'm looking forward to the second season. That's why I put it in the top five, because I love The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's, I might agree with you.
There was the one gimmick in the season that I felt like, you don't need to do that.
You don't need it.
They don't need to do that.
No,
the characters are there.
Gotten stranded.
You don't need to make people feel like they lost Glenn.
Yeah.
And then bring him back. Oh, thank goodness he's back. I mean, that's like, okay, so you're just toying with our emotions now. Yeah. I mean, tell the story.
It'd be like bringing Han Solo back at this point. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. If you made it to episode 5 of our podcast, you've seen Force Awakens.
Yes, and probably not as many times as James.
Number 4 tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
Finally taking the misses.
I was so tempted today, my day off, and I knew you were working. I was like, I could actually go and see it a couple of times.
The first thing my students asked today after the Christmas break was, how many times did you see it? I beat them all. They thought that, I saw it twice, I'll beat Mr. Killian. Nope.
Yeah.
They totally underestimated my nerdiness.
Not only did you see it 3 times, but you did 4 podcasts on it. Well, so, all right. So we're probably going to get to both of our number fours. And that may be the end of this episode.
Yeah, we can continue next time. You want my number 4?
Please.
Okay, I don't think...
Well, first of all...
Oh, yeah.
Before you give... I'm more curious, honestly, about the honorable mentions.
Oh, okay. Maybe we do some of those and come back to number 4.
Yeah. Like...
Okay.
Since I threw out that The Walking Dead was one of my honorable mentions.
I've got one, Great British Bake Off. Okay, it was rebranded this year on PBS as the Great British Cooking Competition or something like that.
And you're into that. Like, you're into the cooking. Like...
Not normally. Okay. This one I am. So I discovered it when my wife and I were in London and we were watching BBC and this show came on. I'm like, oh, great, another cooking show. Except there's none of the American cooking show...
Fake reality,
suspension,
There's suspense. No romance.
There's no nothing. There's no fighting. It's just, it really comes down to... who's the best baker?
Right.
And it's just immaculately
cut. They actually
cut.
Almost
it's
threw
really
like
good.
Actual reality TV
exactly.
competition. Wow.
Exactly. And my wife and I last year, I found a way to download these shows from the BBC.
Yeah, because you are a geek.
I am a geek. And we watched 5 seasons of it. We binged it. And we would have tea every evening and watch our
Listen
British
to
baking
that.
Show. It was awesome. It was fun.
That's great.
And now it's on PBS, so I can say it just aired this year here.
Yeah.
So the Great British Baking Show, I think it's called.
So it's like just baking. There's no
just baking.
There's no grilling.
No grilling. It's all baking.
Pastries,
biscuits,
and
cookies, and all that
right.
kind of thing. Pies
okay.
and whatnot. They just tried an American version on ABC for the holiday.
Yeah.
It was okay, but the British one's where it's at.
Sure.
So that's one of my honorable mentions. Just it was a great one to watch with the spouse. A lot of fun.
That's a very interesting curveball in my mind.
Yeah, that's
a curveball. Now I haven't heard your top 5 yet. They may all be baking shows.
Right. A couple other honorable mentions. I got a lot of British ones actually this year. Documentary called The School. It's about a British high school. It's just behind the scenes, what goes on at a British, London high school. And it was just kind of weird being a high school teacher in America, seeing all the similarities and differences of a British school. Man, they're kind of weird out there. But it was that was a fun one. It's on Hulu. You can watch that one on Hulu. And those are my 2 British ones on my honorable mentions. I got another British one on my list, but we'll get to that. Ascension. Have you heard of Ascension?
I have.
On Sci-Fi Network.
Okay.
Man, I don't want to spoil any of it, but a spaceship going through space that's already 50 years out trying to get to another solar system or whatever. But they would have left like back in the 1950s or 60s.
Okay.
So it's about them out in space. There's some twists. I don't want to ruin any of it, but there's some big, wow, I can't believe that's the truth kind of things. It's an interesting one. It's an interesting one. Haven't finished it yet, but halfway through. But that's a fun one. Sci-Fi Channel, they're doing some good shows again, besides the sharks versus tornadoes and all that kind of thing.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. I didn't watch a lot of comedies this year. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Did you hear about that one?
I don't.
It's a weird one from the makers of 30 Rock. It was supposed to be a show on NBC, but NBC dropped it like last minute and Netflix picked it up. Produced by Tina Fey, that whole group. It's funny. It's weird. It's
I'm glad you got some comedies because I'm looking.
That's
at
the only
list
comedy I got.
Okay. Well, I'm glad there's at least one comedy.
I try to kind of watch some comedy to palate cleanse from some of the Walking Dead kind of stuff. Where you just get to, when I start walking around thinking, oh, I could use that as a weapon. It's time to watch. comedy.
Maybe something lighthearted. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your honorable mentions?
Okay, so I already mentioned one of them, which is this season of The Walking Dead, and I know that's gonna irk some people that are here. They're going, "What? How can that not be on your
How
top
dare
five?
You have an opinion
I get
than
it.
Me.
I'm not saying that the series is not top. It is. I thought this season was an honorable mention of the top five. It's definitely probably six. What I maybe though I might put this one above it in the ranking of the honorable mentions. The Jinx.
Okay, that's on my top five.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you want to talk about it now or when we get to my top
five?
Let's
do it.
Let's talk about it now.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, which?
Oh man,
are you ready to give away your rank?
Top five? The Jinx was number two for me this
year. Okay,
wow. Yeah,
it's a very good show.
I just started watching Making a Murderer. So that might change right there, but that would
you're
be a
cracking
20, 20,
into my top five.
Is
you're
that
cracking...
2015 or 2016?
Well,
I watched it 2016, so I thought of it as a 2016 show.
Well, it came out in 2015.
Okay, then it's a 2015.
Yeah. Well,
that might be up on my list after I finally watch it.
I'm telling you, man. This is what's fascinating.
This new era of documentaries is great, too.
It's
serialized documentary.
It really is. This seems like a seriously new phenomenon to me because this is not documentary like History Channel documentary or PBS documentary, and I'll watch the heck out of one of those if it's interesting. I've always been a fan of the film documentary,
right?
Because I think those historically have been had better access. They're much better done. They're not just chronicling something that did happen. They actually probably have footage of something.
And
a
point of view.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
But now, it's with HBO's The Jinx.
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag on this.
This is a true story that no one could write.
No. It's so weird. What's his name again?
It's Robert... Is it...
Robert Hurst or Durst or something?
Yeah.
Durst.
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
And
the moment I say what a weirdo, I think, well, I'm pretty weird too. But
what a weirdo, and
I just don't think he shows restraint in his actions at all in any way, shape, or form. And the ramifications of that go into some weird, weird directions.
I think here's what's interesting is, I mean, without recalling specifically all the details of the show, because I literally watched it every week. When it was coming out.
Oh, you watched it as it was coming
out.
Oh,
I was coming out.
Oh, we binged that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was one of those things where you watch it every week.
That was a water cooler show.
You're kind of going, what could possibly happen next? But this is getting more and more weird. But, I'm not sure. Here's the crazy thing. And I'll go ahead and I'll say... Let's put off Making a Murderer until
to
that.
Yeah,
but
let's talk about
with that. The Jinx, it's on my honorable mention. It's your
number two.
Folks, watch that show.
Yeah,
I mean without speaking specifically about that man, I don't think there's any doubt in the information that you're given on the show, based on the information you're given on the show, that money and influence and power
are dangerous.
They can get you. They can get murderers off of charges over and over and over again.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
And so here's a teaser for the next episode because we're running out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
The opposite is true in making a murderer.
Yeah.
Without money, without influence, an innocent man can be put in prison for a very, very long time. That's our teaser.
Okay.
It's a broken world, but here's the good news, folks. Jesus Christ will return to make all things new, and he's not waiting until the last day. He's breaking in his kingdom now into this dark world. So that's the hope that you and I have in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God Geeks.